Before we get into today's podcast, I've got an invitation for you. We're about to kick off the sixth edition of our most popular program, The Neuroscience of Change. This training is based on what revolutionary research in neuroscience has revealed about transformational coaching, essentially showing us what works, what doesn't, and why. In the program, you'll learn what happens in the brain and body when different coaching techniques are used, how to guide your clients into positive learning states that allow genuine change to occur, and why some tried and true coaching methods actually inhibit change and what we can do instead. We created this course because I learned things from the lead teacher, Amanda Blake, that truly revolutionized the way I coach. And every year, she and all the teachers bring in new, cutting-edge science that continues to illuminate the process of transformation. Amanda will be joined by the rest of our world-class faculty of coaches and neuroscientists for this program, including Dan Siegel, Alan Fogel, Claire Dale, David Trelevin, and Richard Boyatzis. It's going to be an amazing, transformative journey, so I hope you'll come and join us. You can head to coachesrising.com/neuroscienceofchange to book your spot. The first class is February 25th, 2025 with Amanda Blake. And if you sign up by February the 7th, you can get the early bird discount. So just go to coachesrising.com/neuroscienceofchange to book your spot. I wanted to record this shorter podcast with just me speaking because I read recently a Substack post by Peter Lindbergh on his Less Foolish Substack, which I highly recommend, by the way, about the coach industrial complex. So I wanted to read out parts of this post and then comment on it because I think it touches into something important about what's unfolding in the coaching world. Peter's got a capacity to call out trends and memes and themes in a humorous way, which I think is useful because it helps us to critique and grow and reflect. And later on, I'll just touch into this idea of what might lie beyond coaching. That's an idea that I've been sat with as I've myself felt sometimes the word coach has started to become too small and limiting, and many of my coaching friends have expressed the same thing, and actually quite a number of the voices in the coaching field, the leading voices I've met, have said similar things. So if I come back to Peter's post, he says, "When thinking of what to call my philosophy practice, I did not want to use the word coach. On the one hand, it's the most market-friendly title because people generally understand it. On the other hand, I didn't want to be associated with the title given its embarrassingly oversaturated use." This, for me, is a great point. The word coach now is ubiquitous. What does it actually mean? We could say on the one hand, fantastic, because this thing called coaching emerged. How can we support others to grow and develop around topics that are meaningful to them by holding space for them? That's a very generalized way of describing coaching, but wow, that's a good thing. So no wonder the word took off. But now coaching just means anything. Coaching means giving advice, mentoring, telling people stories. It's lost its meaning. So Peter continues, "I'm not on Instagram, but apparently it's rampant with life coaches with toxically positive vibes claiming to transform one's algorithmically professed pain point. There are valid reasons to approach the developing coach industrial complex with cynicism and criticism. To begin with, the toxic positivity and transformational overpromising do more harm than good, being a cheap band-aid to modernity's cancerous creep on anything that risks enchantment. Also, the whole thing is just cheesy, with young people lacking life experience offering trite advice in clout chasing posts." And there's a picture underneath which I think is great because it's Gene Wilder from the Willy Wonka movie. I don't know when it was made, in the 70s. And he's got this smile, but it's a slightly mad, menacing smile as he's looking at Charlie. And I always found him scary in that movie. And the caption on it says, "So you're 22 years old. Tell me about being a life coach." Interestingly, when I think back to my own coaching journey, I started when I was in my 20s, maybe a bit later than that, 26, 27. It was interesting to reflect. On the one hand, I feel so true. I was full of a kind of youthful hubris and enthusiasm for what this thing called coaching was. And I lacked life experience. And the preceding 20 years, life itself has brought about a certain kind of wisdom which informs my coaching in ineffable ways. That being said, man, I did some amazing coaching sessions when I was in my 20s. Because if you are trained properly or you have that natural inclination to space holding, which is a word Peter uses a bit later in this post, then that art is not dependent upon life experience. But nevertheless, I totally get where Peter's coming from here. If it's just young people offering advice, then what's the use in that? So Peter continues, "It's a low-hanging rim to dunk on coaches, coaching aspiring coaches on how to be a coach." And again, I just want to comment here, if all coaching was a pyramid scheme of coaches coaching coaches, then that would suck. And what would be the point in that? And I think that that is going on in certain places. And also, it's been a golden era for coaching. We've had numerous people on the podcast who are implementing company-wide coaching initiatives in very large companies, saying there are not enough coaches in the world to be doing the coaching that's needed. And there's been an explosion of coaching taking place inside organizations, in the general public. So I think that's also true. And I have grown immeasurably from being coached by masterful coaches. I don't think that's what Peter's actually pointing to here. But anyway, Peter continues, "I want to be contrarian here, taking an optimistic perspective on the phenomena. Compassionately speaking, being a non-credentialed space holder, in inverted commas, is one of the apparent options to escape the world of self-hazardous 9-to-5 office jobs. It can be a valid attempt for many to bridge their vocation gap." Okay, so yeah, the vocation gap being, how can I make a living doing what I love? I think this is the more interesting point I want to articulate here. "Furthermore, there is a market demand for space holders, which includes coaches, therapists, and philosophical counselors. The reason? Most people have shit poor skills at holding space. It is disheartening that people need to pay others to actually listen to them in a way where they feel seen, but that's the reality of our modern situation. This reality should not be a surprise given we're surrounded by sociopaths, conversational narcissists, and social zombies unthinkingly programmed by whatever hive mind they are plugged into." That's Peter's beautiful humor coming through there, pointing to some kind of truth. So towards the end of the article, Peter says, "The coaching industrial complex has potential. Holding space that provides unconditional positive regard in a way that helps others have more agency in the world should be so widespread that people no longer need to pay for such services. This belief evokes my ongoing plea for friendships of virtue. Holding space helps one improve at listening, accepting, advising, and guiding a body towards the good, the true, and the beautiful. I sense that the coaching industrial complex is a collective rite of passage to become skilled at truly being with one another." One thing this taps into for me is when we created Coaches Rising, we wrote a manifesto, and inside of that we spoke about how coaching and coaches and coaching as a way of being could help us navigate these times. That was our belief. And I think there was some hubris inside of that. And I'm certainly more humble these days about that. But what Peter's writing about here taps into that for me, that, yeah, there's a way of being here, these friendships of virtue, as Peter calls them, that we need more of in the world in these complex, fast-paced, uncertain, overwhelming times. We need friendships. We need relationships that help us to regulate ourselves, to heal, to grow, to become wiser. So this brings me to this question of beyond coaching, or how might coaching be being invited to evolve? And I'll just refer to another post that Peter made in which he points to the need for our practices to orient towards wisdom as opposed to one of the dominant values of our times, success and status as well. And this has me think about the role of the coach and whether coaching becomes too small of a word, and that maybe coaching evolved as a response to modernity's value around the success, or maybe it arose out of that orientation towards success. But at the very least, I do think it's been co-opted, or it's very intimately tied with becoming more successful, being successful. And so I certainly feel oriented around this notion that coaching could align itself with supporting others to cultivate wisdom, and how often baked inside our pursuit of success is this sense of lack, that who and what I have or am in this moment is lacking something, so I need to strive to reach this place where I'll be successful. And instead, we take on an orientation towards wholeness, that we're already whole, and that we instead unfold into greater levels of wholeness and wisdom from here. So in future episodes of the podcast, I'd actually like to explore more explicitly this idea of what lies beyond coaching. We're called Coaches Rising, so coaching has been a beautiful name and vehicle for us. And yet many of the people I meet in the industry, whether it's friends of mine or prominent voices, are saying sometimes or often the word coach has become too small. So for now, I want to end this here. And I want to say, watch out in coming episodes of the podcast where I begin to explore what might lie beyond coaching. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder that the early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training, The Neuroscience of Change. This program reveals the biology of change, showing us what happens in the brain and the body when different coaching techniques are used. You'll learn how to work with the innate pathways of change in all of us, so you can create powerful transformation with your clients. Just go to coachesrising.com/neuroscienceofchange to book your spot. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by February the 7th. Here we are. We're at the end of the podcast. Just a heads up again, if you're not on our mailing list and you want to stay in the loop about other things we create, then head to coachesrising.com. Put your name in the sign-up box there. You'll also find some of our other offerings, our online trainings for coaches there. And just want to end by wishing you well. And I'll see you again next time.